Welcome back to the 64th, I think I'm right in saying, episode of the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. We've actually got a very special guest who was on episode 3 back on after a few life changes, shall we say. So I'd like to welcome Karina Linz. We can do a bit of an introduction shortly, but we've also got on Andrew Moran. Andrew, how are you doing?
I'm good. So it's nice to see Karina again. Obviously, it was a long time ago. But back when we very first set up this podcast.
We're honoured to have you as well. And then John Jarvis. John, how are you doing?
Hey, you're right. Yeah, it's been a long time since I spoke to Karina.
Amazing. So, yeah, Karina, I mean, you gave a bit of an introduction last time, but just give us an introduction again so the audience know and can recognise who you were the last time, and talk about, you know, where you are currently.
Yeah, of course. So first of all, thank you, Sophie, for introducing me, and also nice to meet you, because I've seen some episodes. First of all, I've seen an episode where you were interviewed, and after that I've just seen, okay, you're also a podcast host. So yeah, very cool. And yeah, thanks also Andrew, John, for inviting me. So yeah. I'm back in the business and in the Microsoft world. I was on maternity leave for about 1 year, and I came back at the end of 2022. But before that, let me just go one step back and introduce myself. So, Karina Linz, my name. I'm working at MSG in Germany. So I'm located, the business is located in Munich, but I'm living in Mannheim in Germany. So Mannheim is near Frankfurt. That's easier to locate Mannheim. So I'm working as a modern workplace consultant lead consultant in this area. And to be honest, my focus topics haven't changed so much since I've left. On the one side, it's cool because I came back in the business and I continued with similar projects like before. So before I was doing a lot of SharePoint, and I think in the third podcast that I had with Andrew and John, I mentioned many times the buzzword SharePoint. So that's my background. And currently I'm also doing a lot of change and user adoption projects in all this M365 topics, but not only. So I'm focusing a lot of collaboration and productivity. So it's kind of bigger area of work. So that's what I'm doing currently.
Awesome. So obviously in a nutshell as well, obviously, you know, if you go back and about, you know, where you started, obviously I know what you did in the early days. Just want to just repeat that. So obviously you're into, like, is it mathematics?
I've studied media informatics, if that's what you meant. After my study, I've started with SharePoint. So I even didn't know what is SharePoint. I just came into this topic, and now I'm in Corona. I've worked a lot with Microsoft Teams, so adopting and Microsoft Teams in companies. And now I'm kind of back to the roots because, our customers, they have Teams, they have SharePoint, they have the whole Microsoft 365 palette. But, some of them have adopting challenges because in Corona everything was very fast. So and now they say, okay, we have also more options to work productive with these tools. For example, Power Platform, Power Automate, automating processes with documents that are stored in SharePoint, or actions that are happening in Microsoft Teams, and so on. So, I'm I've stopped with SharePoint and I continued. So currently I'm also working for a customer. We are moving from FileShare to SharePoint. Yeah, maybe some of you will say, okay, maybe it's not the right place to move everything from the FileShare to SharePoint. That's right. It's not the right place. And that's why I'm there. To discuss with also with the business what data do they have and what requirements do they have for working in future with documents and all the stuff they had on a file share. Yeah.
Awesome. So I'm going to go straight in and obviously talk about the current working life for yourself, because yes, obviously you've come back from maternity leave. So what kind of changes have you seen since coming back? Because obviously becoming a mother, obviously you've got childcare, all that kind of real world problems that you're now experiencing. So how are you handling that and obviously rejoining the workforce?
So first of all, I have many sick days. And yes, that's not because of me, but my son is in childcare, and it's happening, I think, every month that he's getting sick, and all of us are getting sick, and that's the first change. And I'm everyone told me, but I didn't know that it will be so hard, and it's pretty difficult because I'm also having a lot of trainings, customer trainings, workshops. And if you have a training or a workshop with many people, 10, 20, it's pretty difficult to cancel them, yeah, when you're sick. Yeah. Because, you have to reschedule it at some point. And on the other side, they also planned that. So, yeah. This one is difficult. But, regarding the normal work life, of course, it's also changed a lot. Before I was doing a lot of community stuff. I was doing also a lot of in-person events, and this one is getting more difficult because as a consultant, you're traveling a little bit also now, yeah. And if I would also do more community in-person stuff, then it would be too much travel, and having a small child, it's pretty difficult.
I found that myself. Like as I say, the wife normally takes over for the weekend, and I've got to make it up to her and buy her something or make it up to her in some way for the time that I've spent away at a conference on a holiday, as she calls it.
Was it something, Karina, before, obviously when you got pregnant and we're going on maternity leave, and so I've got no kids, but I do think about it quite often. And I think, because I'm field-based, like yourself, you know, sometimes I work from home, but other than that, I am out on the road visiting partners and things like that. And was it something that you worried about prior, and when you was on maternity leave, coming back and maybe you're not being able to sort of manage it all? Just because I worry about that.
to be honest, I didn't have any worries at that moment, because I don't know, I was some kind of flying, so I haven't seen the reality. I thought, okay, it will be super easy with a small child, and as soon as I gave birth, I can just put them on my side and then work and do some other stuff.
I love how John's shaking his head there.
I realized at some point when he was after I gave birth that it's not like that.
I'm shaking my head because I had the same thing as well. It's like, I work from home, it'll be easy. And nah, it's not. It's too hard. It's too hard.
Even school holidays are hard. I mean, literally, I had to dive off them because I had a child screaming in the house because one of my cats decided to run through the house and leave a little deposit on the floor. So he's freaking out. So the joys of children, eh?
So not so easy. So after I got pronoun, I had a chance to get a team manager, but it was really at the beginning, and I knew what will come, and I knew what is planned. So I also didn't want to be a people manager. I like to focus on topics, to motivate people, to be kind of to make a mentorship with colleagues. So I've decided not to do that, and also I've decided not to do that after I came back, because I was asked again. But for me, it's good, because I think I want to focus on topics, and that's also what I'm doing now. So in our team of 16 people, so when we talked in the last podcast, I was the only woman in the team. Now we're two in a team, and we get a third colleague at the end of the year. Yeah, so in our team, we have a sub-community in a team focusing on collaboration, change, user adoption. And I'm running the sub-community and also planning weekly meetings where everyone is presenting something where others from the team can have benefits. Yeah, focusing on topics we're working in our daily customer work.
Nice.
Yeah. How's your current employer been with obviously taking sick days? Obviously, there can be some employers can be a bit funny about it. So has your employer been very supportive of you, understanding obviously you do have childcare issues, and giving you that time?
So they have been very supportive, and in Germany it's also that you have per so every parent has 10 child sick days. So you have if you are sick, you go to the doctor, and then you just need to show that you're sick. But you also have 10 sick days for the child, and then you have to just show that you're child was sick. But to be honest, most of the time I haven't used the child sick days because I didn't have to, because I was sick. So my child was sick one day and I was 1 week. And when you're in home office, you know, probably you already also know it, you're sick, but you're not so sick that you cannot move. And then you say, okay, let's just do one meeting or two meetings, or just do the most important things, and the other things you just postpone in them.
I know what you mean. So obviously we've having that kind of like year out maternity wise, how have you kept up to date with everything that's happening within the, you know, the IT and Microsoft ecosystem, because obviously it moves so fast in our world?
I haven't kept up to date like I was when I was working. So that's a fact, because you have an issue, you have a topic, you're searching, you're on a Microsoft website. But what I really used was Twitter, and you can get so much information, news from Twitter. Yeah? And of course, I have my smartphone, and then that's the way I kept up to date. But to be honest, then I came back and I heard some new topics, some new stuff, Microsoft Loop, and many new buzzwords. And I even didn't know what happened, what's here, because you cannot be all the time up to date. I was just reading a little bit from time to time.
I know you said, so you mentioned about you not having as much time on the community side of things, with having your son. Do you have a plan in how are you going to manage that, or are you going to take a step back from your public speaking and the community work? Do you have that figured out yet, or?
I've already started to take a step back, and I really like and love public speaking and also networking with the community. I know I cannot do so much, but I do a little bit. So you need to find somehow the balance. So I've also been this year at a conference as a speaker for two sessions in Austria. So at Infinity 365, I've been also as an attendee at the conference at the beginning of the year, and it was really helpful to just get up to date with all the new stuff. Like a newbie, I really felt like a newbie there. So it was also nice. And of course, being an attendee means also not the stress of, I have to present, of to preparing your own session. So it was really relaxed. Then I also had one online session in a meetup. So yeah, as you can see, not so much, but I'm planning to continue currently this in this speed. And I think when my son will grow a little bit, then it will be also much more easier. Maybe he will be some days or a weekend at his grandma. And the daddy can play much more with him, with cars and trains. So it will be easier just to
Xbox maybe. And PlayStation and
all the things. Yeah. So I know that it's another speed, but yeah. On the other side, I have this family part, which also gives me so much. And also, I don't know, power and motivation in the business and in my daily work. Yeah. Because it's this balance.
Yeah, and I suppose for yourself, having that experience with speaking, like you said, there's more women coming into the team, and you can always be a mentor, so to speak, and anyone else that wants to speak, you can give that sort of mentorship, can't you?
Yeah. And of course, there are also other options for contributing to the community, not only speaking. And yeah, so I just need to find myself first a little bit in this role. And for example, my son is 4 days a week on daycare. So from Monday to Thursday, and also not all the day. So from 9 to 16. So I need to find the time also to do the on top work and so on. But so for me it's pretty easy. So I'm currently working until 4 or 5 o'clock, and after that in the evening he's going to bed, and after that I can do again some stuff, work, doing some community posts and so on. Yeah.
You make it sound so easy, but I can imagine it's not. Mums and dads that have kids and do the sort of work, and they're like superheroes, aren't they? So absolute machines. And you're obviously adapting to it really, really well.
Yeah. So I think having two kids, I don't know if Andrew, John, someone, one of you has two kids. I think it's another challenge having two kids.
Yes, it is, because they just clash heads and annoy each other and go into each other's rooms, don't want to be there. And yet they'd be best of friends. I am literally obviously at the point where it's school holidays now in the UK, so I'm like, you know what, I think one day a week I'm just going to go to the office just in case. So I've got that, you know, ability to work with no interruptions whatsoever.
Yeah, at least they can distract each other, maybe not in the best way, but and with your cats. So is this a new role that you've got yourself into then? Because obviously I wasn't on the first podcast. Is it the same role that you've been doing?
It's pretty similar. So in the consultancy company where I'm working for, before I was a senior consultant, now I'm a lead consultant.
Fine.
So on paper, it's a difference. Yeah, so it means that as a lead consultant, it means that you're also... You're also responsible for the customers, so this means you're much more in contact with the customer when it gets new tasks, new requirements. So this means also that I'm the customers where I'm in, I'm always the first contact person for them, and if they have new requirements or they need a new colleague supporting them in different topics than I'm doing, I just manage that to find someone who is doing that and just checking it out with the colleagues in the company. I was also doing this in the past, but not so officially. So now it means that I cannot say, okay, no, this customer, I think I cannot manage it because the customer is pretty difficult. Okay, it's my role. I have to manage it somehow. Yeah. And on the one side, I'm in a project as part of the project. On the other side, I'm also the face to the customer.
Nice. And what did you want to be when, this might have been covered on the last episode, but I'm obviously learning a lot about you. What did you want to be growing up? Were you interested in IT and things like that?
On the one side, my focus is SharePoint, and I know some of the people in the community really don't like SharePoint, but I really love it, and I still want to do stuff in future and just also show to customers that you can do much more than just storing some stupid documents and having an intranet. Yeah, you can do much more with this content management system. So I don't want to move totally from SharePoint, just having some connection with these topics. But on the other side, I focused a lot of change in adoption topics in the last year. And this topic is not so technical. Yeah, I like it. I love it. And I also know that I can learn much more in this area, moving on cultural change. And not only in Microsoft and collaboration and much more on C level in companies. But I know that I also need to have more experience in kind of projects like this. So I'm focusing also a lot onto these topics. Okay. Yeah, and productivity solutions, what I'm doing now. I like to do it, and also we can get more out from this. Yeah, having a lot discussions with business and just talk to them. Yeah, see, okay, what are your processes? How are you doing the things today? And let's see what we can do. Maybe we find a solution with Microsoft products. Maybe Microsoft products are not the right thing for your requirements. Let's just move another direction and see if you need a custom development or so on. Yeah. And I think, yeah, this part is really interesting, just to be the connection between the IT part and the business.
Yeah, I think it's like a quite exciting time for like SharePoint people. As you mentioned, people don't like it. I think Andrew was quite vocal in his dislike of SharePoint previously in our first podcast.
I have been doing a lot of SharePoint recently, though, so you know, it's
what you love it now. So, but you got Viva coming. Like Viva's out now for what, a year and a bit now, which heavily links into SharePoint and Teams and stuff. And I think kind of like I've said it quite a few times in this podcast. Like I think you go into that Office 365 world, like, and two avenues. You either go down the SharePoint avenue, like 10 years back, or you went down like the Exchange route. And now we're seeing like so much in the back end of Office 365, Microsoft 365, whatever you want to call it now, and with the need for those SharePoint skills, especially Power Platforms, SharePoint itself, Teams, Viva, like everything seems to now have that SharePoint backend. So I think it's a really good fundamental skill to have going forward as well. Even if you do want to go down that non-technical route of change management or Viva, I call it Viva non-technical, but yeah. it's a good foundation, basically. So yeah, that's all I'm gonna say.
Okay, let's say from my perspective, in the Microsoft 365 world, almost everything is based on SharePoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, not really, but yeah, I think from a SharePoint consultant perspective, you could see it like that. Yeah, but of course, I also have customers, they say, okay, we have M365, we have our automate, let's just build a database with some automated processes in SharePoint, and we also need some special permissions. And at that point, I say, okay, I'm not sure if SharePoint is the right tool for you. So let's just think about it. And it's, yeah, it's valid because, yeah, I think as a consultant, of course, I'm a Microsoft consultant, but we don't need to focus on always on the product because it's not always the right solution.
That's a consultant attitude right there. Yeah, there's definitely many ways to skin a cat, as they say. Is that what that's the saying, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, there's many ways to skin a cat, and yeah, that's quite true. Anyway, should we go through my question time, Andrew?
I've got a few questions as well to throw in there because I re-listened to episode 3 just to refresh myself.
I said I was going to do it, and I forgot. I was like, I'll go through episode three so I can get up to date, reconnect and stuff like that, and I've just got to do it. So my bad. Go on, Andrew,
I'll throw in my points from episode 3, which we spoke about, and see if you've actually gone out there and carried it on, or even looking at setting it up. So one of the things that we spoke about is obviously the work that you do by going to schools. Is that still the case today?
Schools? Yeah, I remember about the girls' day. So currently, I'm not involved directly because, I was out of business. But in our company, we're doing also stuff like this, different things. So we have the we also have the girls' days. This is once a year where girls can come in, can register and just come for a day in a business, and there are different sessions from female and male colleagues in our company. Yeah, it's still running every year. And also what we have, I don't know if you also have it in UK, we have a practica. So students come for 1 or 2 weeks. They need to do it for the school, depending on the school where they are. And they come 1 or 2 weeks in the company and doing small projects. And they are also between 14 and 17.
No, I don't think we have that. We don't have that.
Okay.
No, I don't think we do.
We have like work experience. Like, I remember I went to Severn Trent Water, and basically did like a whole week in the IT department, where I was basically like put around the service desk, the network team, the server team, and that's kind of like what gave me my initial interest in getting into IT.
Because they are so young, it's not so easy because you need to find something that they understand and that is also cool for them. So for example, developing a small website, maybe it's already too challenging for some of them. So you need to find a small project where people can have different roles in that project. So not easy.
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, I know when I did my work experience when I was at school, they put me in lots of different areas just to basically, give me an insight what an IT department is. Because I knew I wanted to be in IT, but I didn't actually know what I wanted to do. So yeah, I did by messing with, dusty, horrible NT4 machines, taking them apart because they're all full of dust and not working, to sitting with the global network security team, looking at all the different networks, making sure up and running across the UK. So yeah, it's obviously a challenge, obviously, to get a young person in and get them engaged as well, because obviously They must want to do it. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, indeed.
What's next on your notes, Andrew?
What's next on my notes is we obviously spoke about, you know, the women in tech community in Germany, and that wasn't really one, you know, established. So I know obviously you said you're going to take a bit of a step back from community work, but is there a door and an opportunity there? Are you going to take it to try and set something up and get something moving?
Yeah. So I'm just trying to set something up, a meetup, a classic meetup, in-person meetup. So not focusing on female intake, just focusing on the collaboration topics. I want to set it up here in the city where I'm living, because there was a meetup and it also died.
It makes with no corona. Sense because it's nice and local for yourself. You don't want to be traveling all over the place.
I still have the connection to Munich. So the company where I'm working for is in Munich, and my family is in Munich. So I'm also in Munich every month, and I was running the two meetups in Munich in the past. So the one I was running by my own, the collab meetup, and it moved to the online format, and it never moved back to the in-person format. Which is very sad. And here was also a meetup, which also died, but I'm now talking to some people who were running it in the past to just bring it up back to life. Because we see people need it, people want it.
I've fallen out of love with the virtual ones, the virtual user groups and stuff. Like, it's I think they're a really good purpose for the time, like during COVID, when we had absolutely nothing else. But I went especially when a speaker on a virtual one, it's just not the same. Sometimes it really does depend on the audience as well. So sometimes you get like a really engaged audience. I've been on one user group or two user groups where the audience were unbelievable. Like, they were talking, like engaging with you and stuff like that, and it was a really good one. But then I think that's probably just the one user group where it's felt like it's an in-person event, if you get what I mean. Whereas a lot of them, when they're virtual, everyone's off camera, everyone's on mute, you talk for 30-40 minutes, so then you don't know if it's good or not. Like, I watched something yesterday, Anna Kendrick's the actress, she comes from theatre, and when she grew up and she does the performances in the theatre, she was getting instant feedback. You get instant like either applause or something from the audience, or some type of engagement,
a reaction
of some sort, and you feed off that, and that's what kind of enhances your performance. And then she said that when she went into screen acting, so it was just like she'd done her scene and she was like, was that okay? Like, I don't, like, she does, you don't know, because you don't get any feedback from the cameras. You're just looking at possibly like the director in the corner going, is that okay? And that's it. You don't get the same energy. And when I saw that, I was just like, that's exactly the same for me when it comes to like a virtual user group and like an in-person one. And the more in-person events now coming out, I think the better.
I think we're slowly getting there, aren't we? We're slowly getting back to not as many online ones, hopefully. I was hoping Inspire would have been in person, but it wasn't, was it?
I mean, I did that global women conference, and obviously I did the session, and there's like, once I like got to the end of my deck, it was like, any questions? There was like a couple that come into the chat, but then there's like nothing after that, nothing from like the event saying, oh, you know, thank you, or this is the kind of feedback we got. It was just, yeah, you've done the session and move on, which, you know, is a real shame. Where it's in person, at least you've delivered your session, and then 9 times out of 10 someone comes at the end of it and go, thank you, or the question for you that they didn't actually put out into the public. So, yeah, I say, yeah, in person is much better. I mean, look at the events that we've done at the South Coast Summit. You know, we've had such a good reaction each and every time we've done it. And it's just basically, you know, hopefully continue to grow. And hopefully they accept our session. We'll find out in the 1st of September so we can do it again.
Yeah.
The 1st of September. Oh, my God, it's so long away.
That'll fly by.
Yeah. Isn't it? I know, considering I'm the track lead and I already know I've accepted my sessions on the track, so that's a long time away.
What I also wanted to mention on online events is so we all know that the networking is missing, yeah. But what is also missing is when you have a session in person event, maybe you don't get so many questions at the end of the session, but after that, people go out and there are always people in the room who want to ask personally a question where you can get connected to the people. Mm-hmm. Or you're just around later at the event and they come to you and ask you questions. And I don't know if it ever happened that on an online event that someone asked me afterwards a question.
Let's go for a virtual beer.
Okay,
it's not quite the same, is it really?
No.
Go on, John. Your question time.
Okay. Right, two-part question. So firstly, and it's something we've done relatively newer, is can you tell us a low moment in your career where something kind of has either happened to yourself from an individual, company, event, something happened to you, but not only that, but kind of like what you've learned from it and how you can overcome it?
Yeah, some moments, but let's focus on business. Yeah, I have a private one, business one, but the business one. So in a company I've been working before, I was working as a consultant, had my daily projects. At some point, I was asked if I want to be a team manager. And I said, yes, of course, why not? So I was, I don't know, I had some 5 or 6 years of experience, and I said yes. And I said, okay, but for preparing you in to get there, let's just get into different topics in the company. And I got in the sales topic. So my responsibility was to go at different customers where I was active and trying to get new connections to generate new projects. So this one was pretty difficult for me because I love to speak to people, to network, but making new connections and I didn't know where to start from was difficult. Okay, then I say, okay, let's get you into another topic, recruiting. Then I started to do some kind of local recruiting tasks where I was located. So I was checking the CVs. I was just checking them if they are potential candidates. I was doing some part of the interviews for other teams, but also for my future team. So a lot of stuff. After that, I moved with the project to a pretty challenging project, and when I came into this project, it was already a pretty difficult situation, let's say. So it was, and I was in a role with the customer where, in my first meeting, he just screamed on me because why isn't everything working? And I even didn't know what happened. And on top of that, I also had the team manager role. And at some point I realized, okay, it's too much for me. I have a team with 5-6 people and I'm totally new in this role. I have to do the recruiting, which is not only for my team also. Then I have the sales topic, then I have my project, and it's too much for me. I don't know if it was the right decision, but at that moment it was really also psychically too much for me. And then I said, okay. We had a lot of colleagues that started to quit the company. And then at some point I said, okay, I cannot do it anymore. And then I quit it. I took a sabbatical for 2 months. And after that, I started my new job. So yeah, for me, that time was pretty difficult, but because I wasn't even recognizing myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was pretty difficult.
Yeah, but so the overcoming, you move company.
yeah, and I think sometimes it's also okay to fail.
Yeah.
And to see what, maybe also to see what you don't want to do and what you can't do because it's not your stuff, and just trying to do it better in future.
But also, I think a part of that is recognizing, you know, when stuff is getting too much, and saying and being open about it instead of taking on everything and getting too stressed, getting too overwhelmed. Okay. I think it's important to understand what you do and what you don't want to do, and when you know you get taken on too much and the company isn't going to help you with that. I think that's probably a stronger thing than, you know, what you're making out. Just saying, right, I need to leave this circumstance.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. So then the second part to the question, what's like the greatest part of your career so far? Highlight, yeah, what's the opposite of what we just spoke about, basically?
The greatest part? Oh. I think the greatest part was for me getting into speaking. Because I remember at the university, for me, it was really, really difficult to speak in front of people, even if there was only a small group. And then I said, okay, I even don't know how I get into this. I was at many conferences as an attendee, and someone asked me, why you don't try to do that? And I said, okay, let's do it in a small group. It's okay for me. And I think I improved a lot my communication skills, also my speaking skills, to be honest. In German, it's much more better than in English, because so I haven't speak English in my daily life for already 2.5 years. Yeah, and I don't know, I've learned a lot of people in all this time. I learned about me, and yeah, so I think that was the best thing.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's I think the same as like the children and speak. Yeah, speaking has definitely been like a really good highlight for me over the past 2-3 years now. So, or 2 years, maybe three. Coming up,
like, obviously, in episode 3, John, you wasn't even doing public speaking at that point.
No, episode 3, I hadn't done any public speaking. I think now I've done like over 20 different. Trying to catch up with the podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, and also with speaking, so in my opinion, it doesn't mean that you have to, so that I have to do it all my life. It was very good for me, for my personality, and I still like it, and I still want to do it, but maybe in 10 years I will not do it anymore. Yeah, so it also sometimes happens in private life. So before my boy came to work, I started do paragliding. And it changed so much in my life. When I got pregnant, I started to think about, okay, it's not everything about that feeling when you're there. It's also about safety and so on. And then I said, okay, I will stop it now. Maybe I will come back later, but for now it's okay. So it was a great experience, and it changed a lot in me. And yeah,
cool. Sophie, any other questions?
None from me. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you, and thank you for sharing your experiences, and especially becoming a mother. I've certainly learned a lot. So yeah, none from me.
And Andrew, normally finished off with one big question.
Nah, no big question from me. So it's always, I think it's just, you know, it's nice, obviously, you know, to get a guest on that was on the podcast at the very start during a very, you know, very challenging part on the world. You know, COVID basically knocked a lot of people around. So it's nice to, you know, see how your life changed for the positive since episode 3 to episode 64, which you're on now. So, yeah, so just thank you, Karina, and I wish you all the best and enjoy motherhood as much as possible, because they do grow up, and all the pains you're having now, you'll get worse going forward.
Thank you.
In fact,
awesome. Right then, we'll knock it on the head there. So,
what was the question you asked? We normally used to ask a past, present, future question. What was the answer when you asked Karina? When you listen to it back, it should be in your notes.
Oh, so I didn't know what I didn't actually. I don't think that's to be fair, John. I don't think I actually put that question in.
I'm within delivery.
No, I don't think I actually put that question back in the very early days. We wasn't that, you know, that organised then.
I think we're probably more organised then than we are now, to be fair. But
yeah. But now, I think from there though, we'll knock it on the head. So thank you everyone for joining, and Karina for coming back and giving us an update about life and motherhood.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you for listening to the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. Please make sure you hit that like, share and subscribe button to help us promote our message. You can also follow us on Twitter at MSFT Spotlight, and we're also on LinkedIn, the Microsoft Spotlight podcast. And finally, we'd like to tell you a little bit about BitTitan and thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Remote migrations start here. Let MigrationWiz do the work for you. It's fast, secure and 100% SaaS, which means you can migrate at any time and from anywhere. Migrate mailboxes, documents, public folders, personal archives, or even Microsoft Teams with just a few clicks. No special training needed, and no customer downtime. When the work matters, choose MigrationWiz.